What's in a name? For some, just about everything. Linguist Jeff Numberg considers what some individuals and corporations will do just to leave their mark.
I got stuck in traffic the other day as I was driving down 101 past the ballpark formerly known as Candlestick. I had no one to blame but myself because I'd been listening to the traffic reports on the radio and they had reported the jam. The only problem was that they described it as a backup out by 3Com Park, and I just blanked on the name. You may have read about this. The San Francisco Board of Supervisors made the deal to rename the park for the next 6 months after the Silicon Valley Networking Company, with an option to renew the deal until the year 2000. Not surprisingly, a lot of the locals have been getting shirty about the change. As somebody said, that was the only damn thing the stick had going for it, was a neat name. Still, I suppose we'll all get used to 3Com Park out here, the way people seem to have gotten used to Coors Field in Denver and the Coors State Spectrum in Philadelphia and the Trans World Dome in St. Louis. Come to think of it, though, the folks in St. Louis must get nervous every time TWA verges on going back into Chapter 11. It's a risk here, too, I suppose, given the way the high-tech business has been going. We'll have just gotten into the habit of saying things like, you want to go out to the Dodgers game at the Com? And then 3Com will get taken over by somebody else, so we'll have to start talking about Cisco Systems Park or Microsoft Park or whatever. Come to think of it, there will probably be quite a few Microsoft Parks in America before the decade's out. Around the universities, they describe this sort of thing as a naming opportunity. Those are the most valuable pieces of real estate on campus, the lintels over the entrances to dormitories, auditoriums, and stadiums. It's a trickier business for them, of course. The Tostitos Fiesta Bowl people can change the name of the event if they get a better offer from the Granny Goose folks. But the donors who pay to put their names on college dormitories are after the attention of posterity, and not simply the playoff audiences, so you can't go changing the names every few years or so. There's nothing new in any of this, of course, particularly in this hemisphere. That's how the New World must have struck the first European settlers, as a vast and virgin naming opportunity. Sometimes it seems that the motor force in all American history is just the eternal urge to stick your name on some feature of the landscape. From Baltimore to Levittown, from Harvard to Bob Jones University, from Francis Tavern to Rockefeller Center. The only difference is that nowadays we've gotten more efficient about spotting naming opportunities. Not an instant replay, not a museum cloakroom, not a bus shelter that doesn't have somebody's name attached to it. Of course, like all schemes for cheating death, this usually comes to nothing in the end, Americans being a singularly forgetful people. Still, there's always the hope that you may luck out. After all, the whole continent of America is named after a second-rate Johnny-come-lately Florentine navigator who wormed his way into the history books by convincing a German mapmaker to attach his name to the place. And I suppose it answers to a basic biological drive. I look at Trump Tower or 3Com Park, I can't help thinking of my daughter's guinea pig, sweeping his grease gland over the floor of the cage so that anybody who happens by will know that Squeaky once passed this way.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford University and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.